Okay. Welcome back to the program. This is Studio Chat episode 10.
Yeah, Brad. James here.
I'm your co-host, James. Talking to Brad again.
Yeah, we're here. It's 2019. It's a happy new year.
So I wanted to say, before we go any further here, you wanted me to test my vocal, my microphone, to make sure I was recording properly last time. The sound was a little bit jacked up.
It's poor quality. And
it sounded bad, sounded a little bit weird, and I just wanted to get on and start the podcast and say, I don't care.
I know you don't care.
I could not care less, and I got to be frank here. I noticed that you were kind of disappointed when you found out that it sounded bad.
Yeah, I was like, come on, man. Like, give a care. Like, care.
Give a care.
Like, care a little bit.
Yeah, care a little bit. And I got mad at you.
Yeah, you did.
I was like, dude, I don't care. I'm sorry.
I know.
But I'm not really sorry.
What episode number is this?
10.
Any idea? Oh, 10. Okay.
Hitting double digits on this one.
Yeah, 2019.
So I was just talking to you, and I was listening to a different podcast, which in essence is very similar to our podcast. It's just kind of people talking about the stuff that they're doing, stuff that they're working on.
Yeah.
And I was loving listening to it. I was totally enjoying it. And I really appreciated the enthusiasm with which people were speaking about their projects and the things they had going on, their plans for 2019. And it seemed to be like a really kind of mutually beneficial sort of relationship that they had going on.
So it had that authenticity and
And
rawness.
The people are likable and they're fun. It's a podcast called The Modern Maker Podcast.
Okay.
Because I'm all into, working on projects and stuff. And so I found out about these people's YouTube channels.
Yeah.
And I'm not even like the hugest fan of their YouTube channel. I think the YouTube channel with the coolest stuff is called Frank Makes, starring Frank Howarth. And that guy is absolutely incredible. And I'm such a huge fan.
What makes him so great?
I think it's just the care that he puts into his storytelling goes so far beyond any typical DIY or woodworking YouTube channel. Like he really is making little films, and they're beautiful to watch. He uses a lot of stop motion. That's really
that's
amazing.
Awesome.
The quality of his work is just incredible. Like really, really premium stuff. He works incredibly hard and seems to have just the self-discipline thing totally, totally managed.
That's awesome.
So that's the coolest one that I can think of.
So I
just dabbled in this other podcast.
Yeah.
And then I turned out to totally enjoy it. It made me like all the people on there quite a bit more after hearing him.
So to give our listeners some context, we were just having a real studio chat here, and you were telling me about the podcast. I'm like, oh, let's record. Let's talk about this. Like, what was great about it? What inspired you?
Yeah.
And you're like,
and to back up.
All right.
Yeah. Cause I never want to record. But then I just kind of do it eventually.
Yeah.
After a while, when you wear me down enough.
Yeah.
And I'll get out the microphone. And
I think we have like 1 to 2 listeners who care and enjoy our podcast.
Yeah, those are you and me.
I think
no, we don't listen to it. Do you ever listen to them?
I listen to a little bit of it and get a little bit of a laugh, and then I close it out.
Okay, so are you ready for the question of the day?
What's the question?
I guess it's a big two-parter. What are you doing?
Mm.
And what are you gonna do?
Oh, I love this question.
All right, what are you doing?
I am currently working on a side project that's I think little fire under my
Is this the budgeting app?
It is. And it sounds so totally mundane and just, you know, something that everybody's done, but I don't know, just to work on something that I personally care about and working with an engineer and another designer, it's been really, really fun.
You have an engineer on this project.
Yeah.
On this project. Are you thinking that this is going to get turned into like a real app?
That's the idea. We'll see.
What does success look like for this project?
Check it out. There it is on the test flight on my phone. Success.
Keep telling you.
Success would be that somebody wants to use a really simple and well-designed budgeting app that's totally different from all the, you know, totally overly thought and designed apps that are out there today for budgeting. So
you think this is kind of serving a different place in the market for a more minimal experience?
Yeah, maybe. So I don't know. It's an experiment right now, and I'm just finding myself enjoying the process, and I'm not really caring too much about what happens. So
hey, that's it, man.
Yeah,
that's what's up.
So what I'm gonna do next? I actually have been dabbling in Affinity Designer, mm-hmm. and doing a little illustration stuff and trying to do some organic, quote unquote, kind of stuff in there.
Is Affinity Patterns Designer like Illustrator?
Yeah, it's like Illustrator, but I think it's a cross between other apps out there too, like Sketch and so forth. But I'm enjoying like opening up a new tool and starting from scratch.
Should I try Affinity Designer?
I think you should. So my reasoning and why I got it is I opened up Illustrator and it just was bloated and barely working, and I'm just like, screw it. I'm trying something else. I've heard other people talk about Affinity Designer, and it's $50 in the App Store, and so far I'm enjoying it. It's been pretty swift, and
I think part of my reason for being comfortable on Illustrator is I've just used it so long.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Like I've been in there over a decade. So it just feels like second nature. Also, the things that I'm doing are really basic.
Right.
Like I could be absolutely just as at home in Illustrator 7, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I am on Illustrator 22.
Well, I tweeted out the other day, hey, anybody using Affinity? And you responded, use Drawbot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Use Drawbot, man. I don't know if it's really an illustration tool. It could be, but some people are using, like my friend Rob Stenson is using Drawbot to build interfaces.
Whoa.
So he's using it like Sketch, but then he's also using it to build the actual interface.
Oh, so there's a coding aspect to it, to implementation.
Yeah, Drawbot is all just taking Python code.
Whew, sounds beyond me. I'm just,
I don't know.
I'm just a simpleton.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think designers are going to get more into Drawbot.
I'll have to check it out.
Please do. It's really cool.
Okay. So if I get it and I open it up, what should I expect? What should I try and do off the bat?
I think the benefits of a more programming based visual tool are to do just stuff that would either be like too difficult or time consuming in Illustrator, things that have a randomized component to it, you know, or even things that are looking into something like a spreadsheet using that data to make images in whatever way. So because it's all Python based, the possibilities are completely endless.
Yeah.
But I use it for animations, you know, you can make.
Have you talked to the guys over there at Drawbot? At all?
Yeah. They're KBK people, so that's how I know them.
And who are those people, for those of us who aren't in with the
Joost van Rossum and Frederik Berlijn. That Joost is Dutch and Frederik is Belgian.
And so these are legit guys, you think?
Oh, they are the most legit.
Wow.
And really cool.
What makes them legit?
It's a good question. I think what makes them legit is I think they would both do exactly what they're doing if money was removed from the table. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a hobby.
Right.
It's a hobby first. And really, I don't think they're making any money on Drawbot.
Yeah.
I mean, they've poured hours and hours into it. It's a really amazing resource, but this is...
Well, I hope they succeed.
So what do you do as your hobby? You surf.
I surf.
You're really into coffee.
I'm into coffee. I'm into film photography. I do a little bit of painting, as you can see behind me.
Yeah, you got hobbies all over the place.
I
know.
That's my problem. I have all kinds of interests. I have my guitar over here, and I have to kind of cut things out, constantly cut things out.
Oh, that's a good New Year's resolution. What are you going to cut out of 2019?
Yeah, I think I definitely need to cut out more.
But there's a reason that you got it in the first place.
There is a reason. And I will say, like, I do draw, as cliche as this sounds, I do draw inspiration from these things. And
so they inform your profession in some capacity.
Yeah, I think more so mentally, it just kind of inspires. And I don't know if that makes sense, but my mind feels free,
refreshed
when I go to these things. Then I come back to my work. I feel like, okay, I've got some energy and some mind space.
Do you take time out of your day, like in the middle of the day?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And that's something that was new when I moved remote. And, you know, I've got my studio. I can manage my time a bit more as long as I'm getting my work done and, you know, attending meetings and such. But I will, like, take a break and take the guitar down and plug it in and, you know, play a few songs and then get back to it.
That's interesting. I've been thinking about ways to kind of either get in the garage in the middle of the day, like just for an hour or something.
Totally. But I will say, I'm holding up this book called Deep Work.
Deep
by
Work.
Cal Newport. So good. And this is, I just thrive off of like finding pockets of time of 2 to 3 hours. You're just super focused and you're able to get good work done. And
yeah, I was having one and then FaceTime.
It's all about making the space for that to be uninterrupted.
When you FaceTime me, what is going on in your head?
It's usually like, oh, I wonder what James is doing. I wonder if he'll pick up right now.
Because you do it about every day.
It's totally like, oh, is he going to pick up this time or not? That's the thought that goes through my head.
I've been picking up lately.
Yeah, you've been picking up lately. And when you pick up, it just brings a smile to my face because
really?
I know that you've relented.
I don't want to. Because I'm usually in the middle of exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Like a 2 to 3 hour pocket of like deep work.
Right. And I just finished my deep work pocket. And so I thought, you know, I need a break. So maybe James.
But
will.
do you realize that you could be like totally interrupting?
Totally. Yeah.
Me, and then I'm guilted into answering this call.
That's what makes it fun.
Because if it was just convenient for me, that wouldn't be appealing to you.
Yeah.
You like the idea of like derailing my my sort of groove that I'm in.
Right. So, hey, what about you? Let's talk about what are you doing and what are you going to do next?
So right now I am in a deep production phase working on the Sands Family, obviously. It's called Obviously.
Yeah.
And it's just so much work. So do you understand how fonts work where if you want a family of like 5 different weights,
refresh me.
You draw one extreme and then the other extreme and you blend between those two to generate the instances in between those. So if you're doing like a 5 weight family, you're drawing actually 2 masters.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that concept?
Only slightly.
Okay. Well, it's just like doing an Illustrator blend between two things, but for each letter or each glyph in a font.
Right.
Anyways, so that's if something has like a very simple weight axis. The family I'm working on right now obviously has a weight and width axis. And so that means I have 9 masters altogether, ranging from ultra extended light to really bold.
Yeah.
Ultra extended, really narrow light. And really wide, I don't know. I might have said those wrong. But in any case, it's 9 drawings, all with a full character set.
Yeah.
And the character set right now, I think is coming in like around 400 characters or something.
And how long have you been working on this for?
Several months.
Yeah.
Probably.
And there's a version out, right?
Yeah, there's a version out right
Where
now.
Can I find it?
On Future Fonts, man.
Future Fonts is the best.
Okay, so it's around 400 glyphs. Multiply that times 9, that's like 3,600 drawings, right?
Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't know if I did that right. But it's a lot.
Yeah.
That's thousands of drawings that have to be, not perfect.
And this
because I'm never going to do anything perfect.
This is tedious work, though.
It's incredibly tedious. It's incredibly tedious, but it's got to get done.
Yeah.
And here's my question. Should I hire someone to do this?
I think you should explore it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think.
I'm kind of thinking about this because I have so many of these families that are unfinished.
Yeah.
And I have to be my own worker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have to be the manager, and then I have to be the little worker bee that actually
does it.
You're
the worker bee.
And I have to say, be your own worker bee.
Yeah, I definitely think you should explore how you can give yourself more time.
But here's my thing. You got to pay for that labor, you know? And that's, I don't know if I really have money for that right now. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. Do you think there's somebody out there who is skilled enough who just wants to be working with you and associated with you? You know, that could be very possible. So minimum
I'm
pay.
I'm sure there are people. I think it just goes back to a bit of a control freak nature of mine.
I know
that it would take a long time to get someone really up to speed. And I'm sure I would have a lot of issues with the work that they were creating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, well, would it actually go any faster?
Right.
Would this build efficiency? And I think it's got to. At some point, they would cross the threshold into being a really productive member of the team.
Yeah.
But I'm scared. I'm scared to give it a shot because it would be expensive and it could fail.
Well, you could always just try it out, you know, and see if somebody's willing to give it a go for cheap.
I suppose you're right. But if someone's cheap, you know, you take on a lot of responsibilities about being a good employer at that time.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be paying someone a lousy rate.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to be employing someone, I want them to have a stake in the company. I want them to have great benefits, great pay, you know?
Right. Which you have, which you can do neither of.
Right. Exactly. I need to be going gangbusters.
Yeah.
To deliver a really good relationship with the employee. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to learn.
Yep.
I want them to feel invested and feel intellectually satisfied, not just do the grueling labor of it all the time.
Yeah.
I want them to have a fun job that pays well, you know?
So are there folks out there who, like yourself, have, you know, are in the kind of same line of business and who have hired and grown?
Totally. Yes, most definitely.
Who's an example?
I don't know, like a bigger foundry, yeah, like commercial type, has like contractors that will either just design a family or a work kind of here and there on different projects, but they also have full-time employees. They're obviously way, way, way further along than I am, and they've grown a ton.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm going into year 4 of this business.
Yeah.
And I've grown the library, but you know, I've never really hired a contractor.
Right.
So maybe I'll try it. This year might be a year where I give it a shot for the first time.
Very nice. 2019.
What do you think?
I think you should try it. What's the worst that could happen? You just
lose a little bit of money.
You lose a little bit of money and you kind of backtrack a little bit, but you learn something.
Yeah, I don't know if I have it in me to be a manager.
Yeah.
And I'm bad at working on a team, you know? When you think about what you were doing as a little kid and how it relates to what you're doing now, what I do now is exactly what I was doing as a little kid.
Yeah.
Working alone.
This is something you and I talked about recently, was getting back to the things, those feelings of kind of joy and creativity as a kid, and doing those things as an adult.
Yeah, because we don't really change.
We don't change. We're the same.
There's so much stuff that is decided at conception.
Yeah.
So you're just locked into it.
It's such a hard thing to do, though, is to kind of go back to those innate feelings.
Well, there's
of satisfaction and joy and the creativity of kind of simplicity of those things.
It's the opposite in so many ways, because kids have really no freedom.
Right.
You know, they have no like expendable income. Well, their world is very small.
Well, I think,
but they have time.
Yeah. But I think more importantly, they don't have ulterior motives is the main thing.
That's true. They're not seeking any pride or fame.
Yeah, they're not trying to make more money.
Yeah.
It's funny because I tweeted this out like, hey, I'm really thinking about doing what my good friend James said, is go back to doing the things that you love and bring joy and creativity. And I got responses like, oh, are you okay? Like, are you going to quit your job? Are you...
really?
Like, what's happening?
People were worried about
they're
you?
Like... What are you thinking of you're doing? And
they're like, whoa, not
like,
don't try and have fun all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Well, when you have a family too.
Oh, I know.
God, just the financial pressures, dude.
Yeah. Single,
really wild.
You know, I bring in, the single income.
Lion's share of the income.
Yeah. My wife's no longer working. She's just stay at home with the kids. And that's just a whole other stress level I never really thought about until recently.
It's off the charts, man.
Yeah. And so we're doing fine, but it's just like the idea of like, okay, what's next? Like, how do I continue this?
Yeah, that's why I started getting into the financial independence stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how long do I really want to worry about having an income?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're at this whole other level where you don't work for a company who has benefits and salary. You're trying to just make it on your own.
Yeah. You know what though? The more I think about it, no one has security.
Yeah. Nobody does.
I think you only have security if you're truly like retired.
Yeah.
You know? And you can really like live off of your investments or what is actually truly passive income.
Yeah.
Which is a great place to try and get to.
Yeah.
That's what I want to get to someday.
Yeah.
I'm definitely trying to retire.
Yeah.
As soon as possible.
Right. But how can you do that when you have kids? And for example, yesterday your nanny calls in sick once again and you're like, Brad, I'm here with my little one and I can't work.
Yeah, that's such a funny thing when the nanny calls in sick.
How many?
You don't think about that when you have kids. You're like, oh, I get a nanny. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, the nanny's a human being and she gets sick sometimes.
But how many times has she called in sick?
Dude, a lot. She keeps doing it. And me and Sadie are like, how fucking often is this chick going to get sick?
Have you questioned her yet?
We're getting to the point.
Yeah.
Because she gives herself, or she said when... she started looking after our kid that she gets 7 sick days a year. Mm. And we're like, okay, that's totally reasonable.
Yeah.
Like absolutely a normal amount of sick days to be sick in a year. But we're part-time. We only have her 3 days a week, and another family we share her with has her 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So from us, she really only gets 4 days? 4 sick days a year.
Right.
4.5. She's used 4. And we've had her for like 3 months. So I don't know if she thinks we're not keeping track of this or what's going on, but this woman gets sick a lot more than we expected.
It is wintertime. It is kind of, you know, the sick season.
I guess, man. I don't know, though. I think we're going to have a problem if she keeps getting sick, because it really throws me off.
Yeah.
The problem is, I don't know. I don't work an hourly rate.
Right.
You know, I don't know the opportunity cost of me really not working a day. You could divide the complete revenue the business makes over the year and divide that by the number of working days and try and figure it out.
Yeah.
But it's very expensive for me to not work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's obviously cheaper than paying the nanny for a day.
Yep.
So we just need to either do one of a couple things. One would be to just be okay with it. One is like, okay, nanny gets sick. I say, hey, great opportunity for me to get some very, very needed and enjoyed one-on-one time with Loretta.
Right.
And I totally like it.
Yep.
Two would be to have a backup plan in the form of a friend or relative that's going to watch Loretta for the day. That's pretty hard to figure out around here. And then three would be to have like a business, like a daycare place that would take her. But she's too young to go anywhere.
That's tough.
So I'm just going to go with option one. When the nanny gets sick, I'm going to look after her. If I have any deadlines or anything that I'm not going to hit, I'll just email people and be like, hey, sorry.
Yeah.
But guess what? It's fonts and no one's life is going to depend on
it. Right. Right. Yeah.
And that will happen probably so infrequently, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of rare that I'm really working up to a deadline like that.
Yeah. You said a thing earlier after watching that new podcast you were sharing with me that the guys were just kind of exuding this excitement about their craft and what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. They're like, so I'm like in the doldrums right now on this production work for Obviously. It's so much work.
Oh, man.
But there is some stuff that I am kind of excited about
because
I wrote some scripts that are going to automate some of the work for me.
Oh, awesome.
Felt good about that.
Okay.
Took way longer
than
I wanted it to. Took like a couple of days to write this script.
Could you have gotten
that's
somebody
eventually
help you? Gonna
save me some time. But I don't think it's going to save me a couple of days. Oh. I don't know.
Well, could you have gotten somebody to help you make those scripts?
No, I just banged my head against the wall until I figure it out.
Yeah. Right.
Because I do learn that way.
Yeah.
And
it's,
I don't hate it.
No, it can be fun to kind of go through those times of just trying to figure something out.
Yeah. And then, I think so, because there's a great payoff at the end.
Yeah. And once you do, you're just like elated.
But I loved listening to these guys speak with the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me, like, have I lost that enthusiasm? You know? Because I'm just trying to fucking, like, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, I would really love if 2019 was a year where the business actually started working.
That's awesome.
4 years in. Some people say, like, you know, give it 6 years. Give it 7 years and then just see where you're at that time.
It's a marathon.
First year, I had like 14 grand in revenue.
Yeah.
Next year was like 22. Year after that was like 25. So 3 full years of runway that were just very meager.
Yeah.
Then 2018, 70.
Oh, yeah. Huge bump.
Huge bump. And that came partly because of Future Fonts, partly because my fonts are now on Adobe Fonts. And I had some releases on my own website.
So did you ever reach a point where you're like, I don't know if I can actually make this work? You're just like, or you didn't even think about that because you just you didn't care.
Yeah. No, I wanted to do it. Yeah. So I just knew I would keep trying to do it.
Yeah.
But it would just be really nice if this year it actually did work.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. because obviously I have to supplement my income with client work, most of which I really want to do and I mm-hmm. enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. And I will still see that happening.
What's the percentage of that is client work?
Last year is probably close to like 2/3 client work in some way. And then 1/3 passive-ish. Income.
Yeah.
It's not really passive. You know, it's just front-loaded.
Right.
And it's such a continued effort to, you know, write blog posts, do the social mm-hmm, media mm-hmm, thing to kind of mm-hmm. just keep the interest up. Keep new stuff coming out. You know, it's just
We're doing the sway bob with our heads right now. It's the train.
It's a lot of work, man.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I really do enjoy it.
But you are in the doldrums right now.
The production of just putting accents on letters, you know, it's not real fun. But
no.
it's got to get done. It's gotta get done.
Yeah. Can you make that face one more time again? Of yeah.
It's gotta. Okay.
Got that screenshot.
Here's what I'm making a motion like I'm banging my head against the wall. Because that's what it feels like.
That's going to be the cover album art of this episode.
And you know what? When the project is done, you would think that there would be a big payoff, a big, like, great feeling. Yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
For, like, 15 minutes.
Right, and then you're just on to the next season of Doldrum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just on tiny little islands of satisfaction that are punctuating these oceans of doldrum production.
Yeah. Well,
that's all it is.
What else is on your mind for 2019? Any personal goals, things you want to
And I know people talk about it's an arbitrary time to set goals. And if you want to do stuff, just do it. You know, it doesn't have to align with any calendar. I do believe in that, but I also find it's a good time to just kind of reflect a little bit.
I think
a year is such a weird amount of time, so long.
Yeah. I think humans naturally gravitate towards like a time to be able to reflect and start new.
Right.
Start fresh.
So my big one for this year is to think a little bit bigger picture.
Oh,
And I was talking to my friend Tommy about it, and she said, yeah, she had a friend that was also doing that, and she said, think Grand Canyon, because you go to the Grand Canyon and you feel how small you are, you know, because there's no other natural wonder like that.
Yeah.
It's just so vast. You know, I guess the oceans, people look out at the ocean, remind themselves how small they are.
Yeah.
But the Grand Canyon is just this singular thing. So I'm trying to think Grand Canyon, think big picture. And that means doing things for my health, because the health thing is the most important.
Yeah.
Like that's probably number one.
Right.
Doing things that are going to set myself up to be successful in whatever way, emotionally, financially. Mm-hmm. Happiness wise, just later on down the line, setting yourself up and reminding myself when I get frustrated when Sadie leaves her Amazon boxes all over the house. She'll do this thing where she'll open a box and open it, take it out of its package and just leave. And just it's like someone just pulled a fire alarm and she runs outside. Because there's the knife, there's the open box, there's the thing, and some of the packaging, and the receipt, and stuff like that.
The air bubbles.
I'm like, what the fuck happened? Did someone pull the fire drill? Fire alarm?
What happened? Is the thing there too, or does she take the thing at least? And
no, the thing's still there.
So it's why did you even buy this thing?
Right.
It's like,
do you want it? Do you just want to open it?
Do you want to return it?
Can I throw it away now?
Right.
So this is something
funny,
that I obviously get really frustrated with, And I kind of lashed out at her, unfortunately.
These things happen.
The last time it happened, I was like, you know what? I said, this is so embarrassing. I was like, it's not that hard to put it away.
Yeah.
Like, just put the fucking box away, mm-hmm. put the knife back on the knife thing, and just, like, I don't want to clean up after you all the time.
Yeah.
And that did not go well.
Oh, man.
Because I was being completely insensitive. I was lashing out emotionally.
Well, I'll say I do these things every day, so if that makes you feel any better.
Oh, it's so hard to not do it.
Dude, so I've got a 3-year-old and now a 1-year-old, and to be a father is one thing, to be a husband is, both those things combined is just so hard sometimes.
Well, when you're holding anyone else, whether it's a child or a partner, to the same code by which you live your own life,
it's all about
you're in for disaster.
It's those expectations just can set you up for disaster.
Right. The expectation that other people are going to do something in a way that you think is, that's good. That you're off to a bad start.
You're off to a bad start.
You should never have the expectation that anyone is going to do anything good ever.
Right. Like, I shouldn't expect my 3-year-old is going to sleep perfectly through the night every night and not wake me up.
Why would you?
And I'm like, every time I'm surprised, like, why is my 3-year-old waking me up crying once again?
Right.
Disturbing my sleep and getting so upset about it.
This is like when people go to Disneyland and they're like, gosh, the food's so expensive at Disneyland. And it's like, get your fucking head out of your ass. Of course it is. You're at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Look around. Everything is incredible.
Right.
And they're like, oh, I have to spend $8 on a churro.
Yep.
Yeah, you do.
Yep. That's just the way it is.
But when you're tired in the middle of the night, it's like a different part of your brain is at the wheel.
Yeah. So that's one of my personal goals. I need to have more patience. I need to read a parenting book, I think. I probably should. After 4 years of being a dad, I should probably pick up a parenting book and learn a thing or two.
Dude, I read the one of like what to expect when you're expecting some other things.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Yeah.
I don't think I read anything cover to cover.
Yeah.
But isn't that insane?
Oh, man.
That we're treating the most important thing in our life, probably, which is being a father, raising children. We're treating it with the same respect that we treat a hobby that we don't really like.
It's like an afterthought. Yeah. Like, oh, I should probably figure this thing out. Ah.
You know what, though? The parenting books, I think, like to present like they have the answers.
I hate that too, because it's like, oh, these people have it figured out. They're experts.
You know what, though? I think it goes back to just compassion and patience and just the understanding that children, according to their very nature, are going to screw up over and over.
Yeah.
Again,
yep.
That's what's up. That's what they do. That's what they're designed to do.
Yeah.
And if you have the expectation that they're going to do anything right, you're being a dumbass.
Right. Right.
And this is what we signed up for.
And the thing about it is, too, is as adults, we're not much different. And the people that we work with and interact with, and we're just all children, if you think about it.
Yeah. And we're all dumbasses.
We're all dumb.
Yeah.
So little true. Kindness, little compassion. And
dude, the more the better.
Yeah.
I think it's in everyone's self-interest to just be completely understanding.
Dude, and I'm the worst.
It's so hard, though.
I'm of the worst offense, too. I told Michelle, like, I am so close-minded. I just,
I'm
constantly fighting against it.
What do you mean?
Just, you know, even in having sharing work and being critiqued and stuff, I have this immediate like internal defense.
Like, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, oh, but wait a second. Like, I need to hear this because I can't just create stuff on my own and you know, not have others contribute. And,
you know what
it's this constant battle.
recently I made a form on this website called Typeform.
Okay.
And it was just three questions. It was, have you bought any Ono fonts before? What is the best thing about Ono, mm-hmm. and what is the worst thing? Mm. And because I wanted to open myself up to that feedback and get kind of an unfiltered view.
Yeah, so this was what people thought. A good effort in doing that.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Most people were very, very nice and said, I'd say mostly positive things. Mm-hmm. Some people to the question, what is the worst thing? Be like, I don't know. Can't think of anything later.
Yeah.
Which is not helpful.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And some people were like, you know what? The whole chill thing is, you got to give it a rest. It's getting pretty tired. And I was like, ooh, good feedback.
Okay. Yeah. Like, you
stings a little bit.
You wouldn't have known that otherwise.
I wouldn't have known that person that people thought that. I guess I could guess that like one person at least is going to not enjoy many aspects of my sense of humor or things that I think are fun and funny.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. But the interesting thing I thought was like, oh, it's become tired, you know, like maybe it was okay at one point, but. And now it's just like enough already.
Right. So what about your chill tattoo on your leg?
Oh, I care zero about that. You know my tattoo that says Duve?
Right, right.
To bring listeners up to speed here, I got a friendship tattoo that says Duve. And then, because that's something I used to call my friends instead of dude. Duve with a V.
Yeah.
And then no one else got the friendship tattoo. So I'm the only one who has
it. Did you have the conversation with anyone else about getting the tattoo?
No. I just kind of went ahead and did it.
Yeah, hoping that others...
And other people were like, yeah, I'll get one. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. But then I never really held them to it. And then my brother Cameron just called me on the phone the other day. He's like, you know what? I think I want a Duve tattoo. And it's been like 3 years. But
that's awesome.
I'm going to give him a tattoo.
That's great.
So anyways, back to our original point. I think it is a positive thing to open yourself up to feedback and just try it on for size. And the thing that I notice is the more I'm hesitant to accept it in the first place, the more I know it to be true.
Oh, man. Yep. That's right on.
Like the more it stings, the more... absolutely dead on that advice is.
You know, an interesting way I learned to ask for other people's feedback is to simply ask, what would you do in my shoes in this situation? Or what would you have done here in my shoes? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it brings this more personal aspect to it.
I like that. It's a pretty easy question. That was something I was always asking like my realtor when we were buying a house, trying to find a house. Mm. I was like, what would you tell your brother?
Yeah.
If
and that's and that's a fine line when they're in their shoes.
Oh yeah. And of course they always have their own best interests at heart. Everyone does.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But if you have those people around you who have your best interests, you know, in mind, that's where you can really get some good stuff.
I suppose you're right. I don't know. We'll never know. But feedback is tough. And I learned all that stuff in art school. Because in the critique part of art school, which you go through in all your classes, you're practicing that as much as you're practicing design. It was really helpful.
Yeah. So that's something. I never went to art school. And that's something maybe I missed out on.
You did, man. Let me tell you. Because I think I came a long way of just immediately feeling like everything was a personal attack to realizing that everyone's on your side.
Yeah.
And they want the project to be as successful as possible.
Right.
And it's your job to filter through the advice and critiques that you hear and decide what you feel in your heart to be true. And that's the fun part. You don't have to just blindly listen to everything.
Right, right.
You have to really take their criticism under careful consideration and say like, oh, does this really make sense? Because you'll get conflicting advice a lot of times.
Yeah. The challenge I run into in in a business environment is when we're at crits, team critiques, and there's specific things that really need to be addressed, but that person, you know, it's they either choose to address it or not. In most cases, they choose not to. And there's certain things that get shipped or put out there that is should have been looked at.
Because they're failing to think big picture. There it is.
That's it.
That's got to be it.
Yep.
You can get stuck in some really stupid details a lot of times if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. Spend all this time and energy on things that actually don't matter.
Yeah.
Because the foundation sucks.
Right. Yep.
Think.
That's good.
Think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing.
You know a little bit.
I think because I've been out of the game of working with people for so long that I'm incredibly stunted in certain areas of my development around collaboration.
Mm. It's interesting. I talk to freelancers or, you know, I have a few friends who freelance like yourself, and after years of doing it, they kind of say that same thing. And I sometimes hear a want or a need to get back to some collaboration with others. And
I think I was talking to a teacher friend about this a little while ago, and the thought in the back of my mind for a long time was like, oh, I could always just go back and get a job.
Yeah.
You know, I can go get hired, find some place that will employ me.
Yeah.
And he was saying at a certain point, he looked around and said, I'm not qualified to work anywhere anymore. You know?
And this, like, this person was pretty seasoned and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A total pro.
Yeah.
And, like, he's an incredible designer, great teacher.
Yeah.
Really smart, thoughtful guy, great writer. And he was like, I couldn't go get a design job, some art director job somewhere. And I was like, scary. Shit, you're right.
That's a scary thought.
And also, I don't think I could either. Well, maybe there's some place that would hire me, but I would be doing something very different.
Yeah.
And I would be coming in at a probably more junior salary.
You'd probably be put in your corner and kind of, put in a place like a contractor or similar to that of a contractor.
Yeah. And I'd be doing like production work and stuff.
Well, you're doing client work though on the side. So that's, that is, there's something to say there about interaction with others.
Yeah, but it's different, man.
Yeah.
Because it's a different sort of relationship. Anyways, I think I'm done talking. We went way over the normal time.
Okay, I'm done too. Let's end it.
Are you really done?
Yeah, I'm done. I was expecting the music to the trailing
the bumper. It came on and I just turned it off.
Okay.
Because we were in the middle of something. It just felt stupid to.
All right. That shows you care a little bit, so I'm flattered.
I care a little bit.
Sometimes, and then it dissipates.
Yeah, yeah. It's just it comes on just like a cloud passing overhead, and it creates a moment of shade. I think I care.
Yeah.
Oh, I care. Look at this. And then it passes.
And then it's
and
gone.
And I think, No. I don't care anymore. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry
too. I'm ready for lunch.
All right, man. Hey, thanks. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, James, for once again jumping on to do another Studio Chat.
This has been Studio Chat, Episode 10. I'm James.
This is Brad.
Signing off.